滴滴滴滴滴滴滴滴滴滴滴滴滴滴滴滴滴滴滴滴滴滴滴滴滴滴滴滴滴滴滴滴滴滴滴滴滴滴滴滴滴滴滴滴滴滴滴滴滴滴滴滴滴滴滴滴滴滴滴滴滴滴滴滴滴滴滴滴滴滴滴滴滴滴滴滴滴滴滴滴滴滴滴滴滴滴滴滴滴滴滴滴滴滴滴滴滴滴滴滴滴滴滴滴滴滴滴滴滴滴滴滴滴滴滴滴滴滴滴滴滴滴滴滴滴滴滴滴滴滴滴滴滴滴滴滴滴滴滴滴滴滴滴滴滴滴滴滴滴滴滴滴滴滴滴滴滴滴滴滴滴滴滴滴滴滴滴滴滴滴滴滴滴滴滴滴滴滴滴滴滴滴滴滴滴滴滴滴滴 on China Business Radio.
Hello and welcome to this edition of English Evening. I'm Timothy Gutman.
This is Dong Ning. 大家好，欢迎来到中国中央人民广播电台经济之声为您带来的英语职业节目。Timothy, do you know what is barter economy?
Yeah, the barter economy, at least if I recall my world history class, is the general state of pre-currency exchange. Of course, economics is as old as, you know, rational thinking in the human race, and it deals with the appropriation of scarce resources by, you know, whatever organizational system you can think of. And before we had these, you know, B or yuan, these systems of exchanging paper or metal, precious metals for stuff, there were just straight trades, which this trading system is thought to be one of the first market economies.
It's just a very old, a very traditional way of trade, right?
Sure is, yeah.
Trade without money, before money, just comes out.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, 那么随着经济的下滑呢，无现金的物物交换方式最近呢在互联网上非常的盛行。专家说，每年全世界各地的易货贸易额约为120亿美元，而去年2008年有超过了25万个美国的企业交换了货物和服务。现在呢，很多人，比方说他们会替别人安电视或音箱来换取一顿饭吃 ，or they can just exchange their, you know, vehicles. Like, for example, here's a man in England. He changed her own van and from another SUV owner, so they change it with each other.
Sure, the internet has given us a new, different kind of marketplace in many ways, and it's also invented new marketplaces. Websites that advertise free goods and services that owners are just giving away and they want, you know, someone to take it up and use it. It wouldn't surprise me that it's contributed to bartering in some cases.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think the one thing is that you don't have to, you know, take out money or just, you know, use money or use any cash. But another thing that is you can exchange something. For example, if I have something, I don't want it.
Sure.
I don't want to use it, but I want another thing from you. So in that case, and we can exchange with each other, and we help each other.
Yeah, yeah. That kind of mutualism is a lot more efficient than you going out to the store, taking some time, and buying something which is probably going to cost more, then coming home and having something you do want and something you don't need at all.
Mm-hmm. Sometimes it's a kind of a second-hand thing.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But this kind of activity has gone on throughout the phase in which money is introduced to the economy, and now it's finding new methods of influencing transactions like the internet.
Mm-hmm. So that's a new way of living right now, and not only happened on the internet, also in real life. And as the price of a college degree continues to rise, there's growing evidence that a monetary payoff isn't quite as big as often advertised. The best estimate now is that a college degree is worth about $300,000 in today's dollars, nowhere near the million figure that is often quoted.
Yeah, I hadn't heard that famous quotation that has annoyed economics researchers, that a bachelor's degree from a university is worth $1 million. But of course, that kind of educational achievement sends an important signal to employers. It represents an important development or milestone for many people, and there's a lot of different ways of assessing its worth. Of course, economics has penetrated every kind of research, and if you can think of something, you will find a researcher somewhere who says that she can put a monetary value to it. And of course, for something like a college degree, as important as education is, there's a lot of contention or debate about how much it might be worth.
现在呢，有人在研究一张大学文凭值多少美元。那随着金融危机的影响呢，大学的学费现在是年年攀升，但是毕业之后的工资回报呢，却没有想象的那样好。以现如今的美元的汇率来计算，大学学历最准确的价值，专家给出的答案是30万美元，远不及常人所引用的100万美元那样值钱。So it doesn't worth a lot of money, and they also told us there's a college graduates earn on average about $20,000 a year more than those who finish their education at high school, at that of over a 40-year working life, and the total differential is about $800,000. But since much of this bonus is earned many years from now, subtracting out the impact of inflation means that $800,000 in future dollars is worth only about $450,000 in today's dollars.
Right. It's always difficult to convert between past, present, and future when we have these monetary amounts. And of course, not every degree is worth the same. Obviously, an immediately employable degree from an acutely prestigious university is worth a lot more than something that is more peripheral from somewhere that has less of a name. But for all of us, educational attainment has a different value, and that a college degree is often advertised as giving you more choice, giving you a better ability to negotiate the economy, and more resources intellectually and procedurally to land on your feet when you face big decisions or have unexpected circumstances thrown at you.
那根据美国的专家给出的结果呢，是如果大学毕业后还能够再往前读一个高级的学位，得到的薪水回报呢可能就会更大。但是呢，据专家的计算，一个学士的平均年薪有$51,000，而一个读了 MBA 还有法律硕士或者是其他职业学位的毕业生呢，可以拿到将近$100,000的年薪。So that means if you just apply for a higher degree, in case of, you know, you don't have earned a lot of money than students who graduate from high school.
Right. Of course, those averages are hard to take, but generally speaking, higher educational attainment does translate to larger earning potential. Although there's no absolute way of determining this across borders, all studies have certain constraints in them, as well as certain constraints of, you know, central tendency. Just measuring these averages and guesses can only give us a very vague idea.
And there are lots of other non-monetary benefits as well.
Sure.
College graduates are healthier, contribute more to their communities, and raise kids who are better prepared academically. So that's the, you know, positive things for the people for now, the students graduate from college. So the suggestion is that if you had a time, if you had a chance, you just go back to school, finish another degree.
Yeah, that has been the advertised solution to many for the their financial circumstances, particularly nowadays. In terms of intangible benefits, as our listeners probably know, I couldn't agree more. The value that higher education has is only guessed at by monetary figures, but you can know from the ability you have to navigate your life.
Yes, and also from an expert's perspective, they told us they found that people's mental abilities peak at 22. So,
oh, heavens, that's depressing.
Yeah, 22 is a regular year of graduates from university.
Mm,
so
sure.
This time you go to a graduate school, it's a very bad choice, huh?
那么 I suppose.
没错，研究人员发现呢，人的智力呢，在22岁的时候会达到高峰，而仅在5年之后呢，就开始出现衰退。So, Professor Timothy, the name is here, huh?
Yep.
Said the results suggest that a therapy designed to prevent or reverse age-related conditions may need to start earlier, long before people become pensioners.
Yeah, it's important that Professor Salthouse stresses that as being the object of the survey. It's not to say that anyone is smarter or less intelligent than anyone else, but the way we look at geriatric conditions, the conditions of aging, need to be more focused on data other than just age.
However, the report recently told us that abilities based on accumulated knowledge, such as performance on tests of vocabulary or general information, increase until the age of 60.
Sure. That is a good sign for most of us. And that mental agility is something we can work on our whole lives through. It shouldn't have to start or stop at any particular point. As we fulfill our capacities, this can be a comfort to us, whatever age we happen to be.
Mm-hmm. So we combine reality and also science together. In this age, 22 is a peak age for you, for your knowledge, for your wisdom.
I don't know about that. I would still stick by Kongzi, who I think would say that what we think of as middle age is just the starting point of life's journey. You know, mm-hmm. It's not the end, as our youth-obsessed culture is telling us. But that our life has many different turning points, and all of them can lead to a deepening of wisdom.
Yeah, so don't waste time.
Yeah.
Use your wisdom. Okay, and for now, let's move on to key concepts of NPC and the CPPCC. 接下来呢，我们和大家继续来分享两会关键词。First one is 农民企业家。
Farmer turned entrepreneur.
第二个是中小型企业。
Small and medium-sized enterprises.
农民企业家 we can say farmer turned entrepreneur. Farmer turned entrepreneur. 第二个中小型企业 we can say small and medium-sized enterprises. Small and medium-sized enterprises. Okay, and for now, let's continue to listen to this news. 接下来呢，我们来听听财经资讯。Singapore set out trials to build green roads. 新加坡将建立环保公路。
Singapore's Land Transit Authority, or LTA, has set out trials to build roads with recycled waste materials, local media reported recently. According to local radio 938 Live, the LTA is exploring both processed road construction wastes and industrial waste in future new roads, which would be made up of 70% recycled materials.The report said the effort is to ensure long-term sustainability and make Singapore less dependent on imported materials. The clean energy industry is identified as a strategic key growth industry for Singapore. According to the Clean Energy Blueprint for the city-state, the clean energy sector is expected to generate a total of 170 million Singapore dollars, about 111 million American dollars, and value added and 7,000 new jobs by 2015.
That's all for today's Business News.
Dong Ning and I would like to take this time to thank all of our listeners for contributing to the quality of this show. How do you do that, you ask? By sending us many of these emails, asking us questions, giving us advice, and just letting us know how your journey in language learning is going. Thank you, everybody, and it is only by participation that the quality of people's radio can be strengthened.We urge everyone to join us on the air during our regular broadcast time. Or, of course, you may stream our content online at our website, which is www.cnr.cn. One of those emails asks me about spelling my name. My personal name, which is used, you know, informally, what my friends call me, is Timothy, which I spell T-I-M-O-T-H-Y.And my family name or surname is Gutmann, spelled G-U-T-M-A-N-N. Thanks for the question. I'm always happy to help. Another email we've received asks us about the meaning of the word edition. The noun edition means version or episode. In books, it can refer to a printing. In TV shows or radio shows, it just means what you were listening to, the episode or show itself.
Mm-hmm. Okay, and for now, let's move on to Studio Classroom.
传播全球资讯，提供理财服务，讲述财富传奇。中央人民广播电台经济之声。
China Business Radio, Your Radio.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to Studio Classroom Worldwide. My name is Steve. Thanks for joining us today. This month's travel article takes us not to just one location or destination or even one single country. We're going to travel around the world by train. Train travel isn't just about reaching the destination. It's about the journey as well. Trains are relaxing, almost soothing.So we hope you'll climb aboard with us as we begin this lesson Okay, let the reading begin. We're on page 46.
The world's best train trips. Get on board to see the world by train. There isn't a train I wouldn't take, no matter where it's going. The poet who wrote these words knew the joy and excitement of train rides. Train travel allows passengers access to sites that are often missed when traveling by plane or car. In addition to amazing scenery, luxurious compartments and fine dining make these train rides unforgettable experiences. Alaska, United States. Denali Star Train. Alaska, the largest U.S. state, covers 591,004 square miles of beautiful terrain. The Denali Star Train offers a convenient and comfortable way to see some of that beauty.
Hi, friends. I'm Chelsea.
And I'm Esther.
And I'm Chip. And today, we're looking at the travel article in this week's magazine, or this month's magazine. And usually, for our travel article, we look at one specific place in the world that people like to travel to. But this article is a little bit different.
That's right. Today, we will be looking at the world's best train trips. Our deck says, get on board to see the world by train. And we'll be talking about several different places that you can do that in.
And if you get on board a train, it just means you get on a train. So over the course of 3 days, we'll be talking about 5 different places around the world where you can take wonderful, exciting train trips.
And our article starts out with one line of poetry. It says, there isn't a train I wouldn't take, no matter where it's going. Sounds like this poet is saying, I would take any train anywhere.
And after reading this article, I think that I agree with this poet. Why? Because the poet who wrote these words knew the joy and excitement of train rides. Train travel allows passengers access to sites that are often missed when traveling by plane or car.
Now, if you have access to a place, it means that you can enter that place. You can go to that place. So, for example, maybe you've seen a sign that says, no access allowed. It means that you can't enter that place. Maybe it's owned by someone. It's a private piece of land. But if you take a train ride, you have access. You can go or you can enter many places that you might not be able to see if you are on an airplane or in a car.
And in addition to this access to often missed sites, I think these trains have some luxurious compartments in them. And that word luxurious is one of our word bank words. What does that word mean?
Well, if we're talking about something that has luxury, that's the noun form, and it means something that's maybe expensive, but not necessary. It's very nice and very expensive, but you don't really need it. So if something is luxurious, that means it's an adjective. That means it is very expensive, like a luxurious compartment or section of the train.
And trains like these are not only luxurious, and they also offer you fine dining. Now, this word dine, D-I-N-E, means to eat. Often, when we talk about fine dining, we're talking about very nice restaurants, expensive, fancy, and of course, also luxurious.
And it sounds like these luxurious, fine dining experiences would be pretty unforgettable, and they would make your trip a very good one.
Well, let's get started on our first location. We're going to be visiting Alaska, which is in the United States, and learning about the Denali Star Train. So, Chip, would you like to tell us a little bit about this very special train?
Absolutely. This train ride sounds like a very interesting one, because first of all, it's in Alaska, which our article says this state covers almost 600,000 square miles of beautiful terrain. That word terrain there means land. And so the beautiful terrain in Alaska has mountains and lakes and rivers. Absolutely beautiful terrain.
Yes, and Alaska is also the largest state in the United States. Now, Alaska is not connected to the other states. It's connected to Canada. And on page 47 of our magazine, we have a picture of Alaska. In fact, you can even see the path where this train ride covers. So it goes all the way from Anchorage in southern Alaska to Fairbanks in central Alaska. Wow!
And as our article says, the Denali Star Train offers a convenient and comfortable way to see some of that beauty. And as Chip mentioned a moment ago, we're talking about mountains and rivers, and it's just beautiful. Now, I have flown in an airplane over Alaska before, but I'm starting to think that I might need to go by train in order to see this beautiful terrain even better.
And I think a big reason that people visit Alaska is to see the terrain, to see this beautiful land, because there's so many beautiful places and beautiful scenes in this largest state.
Hi, friends. Welcome back from the break. Now, when you're flying in an airplane, you don't see much scenery from 10,000 meters in the sky, do you? You do see a lot of it, though, when you travel by train. And that's one thing that makes train travel so attractive. Before we take a peek at what passengers can see as they travel through the huge state of Alaska, we need to know two words for this section. The first is wraparound, as in, you can walk all the way around this house on its wraparound balcony. The second word is sausage, as in, my favorite kind of sausage is beef sausage from Germany. Sounds yummy. Let's see if they serve sausage on the trains in Alaska. The reading continues on page 47 and line 5.
The world's best train trips. On the nearly 500-mile route, passengers view mountains, forests, and tundra through large wraparound windows. Guests can look up and enjoy flying eagles and snowy mountains. While enjoying the sights, passengers dine on local dishes like Alaskan salmon and reindeer sausage. Along the way, destinations like Denali National Park lure tourists off the train. The park is home to Mount McKinley and wild animals such as grizzly bears and wolves.
Welcome back. We're talking about the Denali Star Train in Alaska, and it covers some beautiful land, some beautiful terrain.
Now, on the nearly 500-mile route, passengers view mountains, forests, and tundra through large wraparound windows. Now, we have a couple of terms there that you need to know. Our first one is tundra. What is a tundra, Esther?
A tundra is a piece of land in an area that is very, very cold. So in North America and in Russia, we have tundras because there are very few trees that grow in these lands. Usually they are just flat pieces of very cold land.
Right. No trees grow in a tundra. And often they have very, very short grasses and very, very short little plants growing in a tundra. Sometimes you have tundras in very high altitude areas, like on top of a mountain.
And our second word there is wraparound. We're talking about wraparound windows. So it's used as an adjective. If something is wraparound, that means it kind of curves around to the side. So these windows on these trains, people are able to really see a large portion of what is outside because they don't have a square window frame going around them, but rather they wrap around.
And that word wraparound is kind of a simple one to understand if you know what wrap means, because sometimes you wrap your hands around a warm cup of coffee or a warm cup of tea. So that's kind of a simple word to understand when you understand the pieces.
And that's a good way to remember words. Like this word, wrap around. Put two words together, you get one word. So if you can, when you learn English, try to make a picture in your mind and help you remember the word. Well, let's go back to the Denali train ride. And the people who are riding on this train, they can look up and enjoy flying eagles and snowy mountains. Chelsea, can you tell us more about flying eagles?
I sure can, Esther. Flying eagles are very, very big birds. In fact, an eagle is the national bird of the United States of America. And they're special birds because there aren't that many of them left in the world. So people really have to try to do their best to take care of these birds so they don't die out. And how about snowy mountains, Chip? I know you know something about snowy mountains.
Well, I love to spend as much time as I can on the mountains. And the higher the mountain, the more likely there's going to be snow on top of the mountain. But not only does a passenger get to enjoy seeing these things, they also get to enjoy some fine dining. Isn't that right?
Some very good, excellent food. Maybe some types of food you can't find in other places. Now, first, let's go to one of my favorite dishes. And this is a local dish in Alaska, which means that it is available there because it's something that the people there have. And this is Alaskan salmon. Alaskan salmon. Now, Chelsea, do you like salmon? Tell us what kind of fish salmon is.
I love salmon. It's also one of my favorite dishes. Salmon is just a large fish, and it has kind of a pinkish-orange color to its body. And I think the interesting thing about salmon is that sometimes they swim upstream in the opposite direction of the current. So they're very interesting in that way, and they are very good to eat.
Yeah, and it sounds like not only do they eat salmon, but in these dinner compartments, they also have a chance to eat reindeer sausage. And a reindeer is a large deer that is from the northern parts of the world, northern Russia and northern Canada. And a reindeer is also known as a caribou, if you've heard of a caribou.
And reindeers are the type of deer that have antlers or large things that come out from the ears. And if you have seen a picture of Santa, well, the reindeers are the kind of animals that pull Santa on the sled.
And we have another word bank word there. We're talking about reindeer sausage. When we talk about sausage, we're referring to a type of meat that is very finely chopped into very small pieces, and it's seasoned and cooked, and then it's eaten. A lot of times people will eat pork sausage. That would be sausage that comes from pigs.
Now, back on this Denali train ride, you'll be able to visit places or destinations like the Denali National Park, and these lure you, these attract you to get off the train. Also, this park is close to a mountain. This mountain is called Mount McKinley.
And it's home to great big wild animals like grizzly bears and wolves that you probably wouldn't want to run into.
Well, certainly there is lots to see in Alaska. But we're going to get off the Denali Star Train so that we can hop on the Blue Train. Where do we do that? We'll find out tomorrow. For now, keep up the good work in your English. For everyone here at Studio Classroom Worldwide, we hope that you have a terrific day. Bye-bye, everyone.
本节目由吉林省空中英语教室杂志社提供，也可登录相关网站收听当日广播教学节目。本节目配套杂志播讲 MP3 在全国各大书店有售，并可在当地邮局订阅。
That was Studio Classroom, which you know what time it is. It is time for us to leave. However, we will very soon join you again tomorrow. So this is Timothy Gutman saying I hope to hear from you then.
Mm-hmm. See you on Friday. Bye for now.
This is 天梭表为您报时。传承经典工艺，启迪非凡创意。瑞士天梭表，时间任你穿梭。